The following media was brought to you by Tome of Huzzah!
So over. So fucked up. He like... You guys, you don't believe me, but like fucking... Henry just bullies me before episodes to the point where I actually almost start crying.
We were just having a fun conversation and Rudy just like really switched up the tone here.
He was like, tell me a cricket format that you love the most. And I'm like, I don't know anything about cricket. And then just keeps like asking this stupid question over and over again. It's like...
All right, listeners. I just want everybody who's listening right now, please go to the Spotify comments and comment your favorite cricket format. All right, I really need to know. It's my new favorite sport, and I want to hear everybody's opinion. And next time anybody sees me, I'm taking you to a cricket game. And Rudy's coming along. And did you know, Rudy, that actually in the Netherlands, cricket is kind of like somewhat coming up? Like,
what
only slightly, because cricket is pretty
no
niche.
Sudden and new. I felt the moment I laid eyes on you. My pulse is rushing. My head is reeling. Yeah, well, my face is flushing. What is this feeling? Fervid as a flame. Does it have a name? Yes. Loathing. Unadulterated loathing. For your face, your voice, your clothing. Let's just say, I loathe it all. Do, 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 do. Every little trait, however small. Makes my very flesh begin to crawl with simple utter loathing. There's a strange exhilaration in such total detestation. It's so pure, so strong. Anyways, do I have to keep going or did you get the point?
Do you think Eindhoven has a cricket club?
Oh my
God. I was watching
Wicked, seeing this song, and I was like, that's me and you. I just loathe you so much that
what?
I love you. This is the hate to love arc.
Oh, this is me, but just the love to love arc of cricket. So, I really, people.
Episode 37, Globally Local Fam. Today we
talk to
are
me about
in
cricket,
Kampala,
all right?
Uganda.
Did you know that? Uganda qualified to.
I'm not even kidding. Like, I'm actually. Sid, bleep this out. I'm gonna. cricket with a cricket bag or whatever that is. You will never hear about cricket again or be able to speak about it. You hear me?
I hear you.
Okay. Jesus Christ.
And see, dear listeners, this is the thing. I get a new hobby and Rudy just criticizes me about it.
I was happy for you and then you brought it up 54 more times. I was like, right. I'm happy you're meeting friends. I just hit my knee, by the way, and it really hurt. And you don't care about that. And I was
I'm genuinely really happy
for you for meeting people because you're a little bit of an introvert boy and you would do like exercise outside and I was happy. And then you come and you're like,
Rudy, name
your favorite cricket format. I was like, I don't know anything about cricket. No, we can't start. And you just keep me on edge and I'm here like 3 hours on sleep. Don't drink Coke. Don't drink coffee. And...
Drugs are bad for you, kids. All right, just remember that. And Rudy's setting an example by not having any Coke, all right? So, see, Rudy's just acting up a bit. This is, what's it called? Withdrawal symptoms from if you don't have any, like, you know, if you're trying to kick off a habit. Good on you, Rudy.
You are, I will find you. I'll send you a pipe bomb after pipe bomb until I'm sure there's nothing left of your house. I'm going to try every house on the street.
All right. I recognize and appreciate the dedication. Anyway, Rudy, today we are indeed in Kampala in Uganda, and I did have a fun fact that I already said earlier, so I'll just leave it at that. I've got a couple more fun facts for you. Uganda does in fact not border Germany.
I'm sorry, but Henry... I met my wits end with this shit. You pull one shit like that more.
What? What do you mean?
Huh?
I'm just reading my fun facts.
Do your best, huh?
All right. Well, some more Uganda effect. It is located in East Africa near the, well, not just near, but like straight up bordering the Great African Lakes. Rudy, are you familiar with what's happening at the Great African Lakes in the next 200 million years?
They are leaving.
Yes, and I think that's pretty fucking cool.
Good for them. They are on to better fields.
Indeed, good for them. We can only but await when they actually start getting going a bit. Probably will be beyond our lifetimes, but you can't see all good things, is what I've always said. Sometimes you have to be there for the bad shit. Another fun fact about Uganda. Ugandans have visa-free travel to Vanuatu.
Cool.
And my final fun fact before we get straight into the news is that in one of the pub quizzes I visited in Eindhoven, they asked the question, which three countries that lie on the equator start with a vowel? I, of course, said Indonesia and Ecuador. And then I was torn up between Equatorial Guinea and Uganda. I answered Uganda. It was correct. I felt good about myself. That's right, people. Just leave your applause in Rudy's Instagram DMs. And let's get straight into the news.
Okay. The defeat part, I get it. But the humble part?
I think it's humble to celebrate yourself.
No, I think that I think that silence said more than I could have. The news. Genuinely, one of the fucking... Well, I'm sorry that I said the word again. But one of the most funniest articles I have ever found when prepping for this episode. Can I start with mine?
Yes, you can, sir.
The name of my article is "The Devil Lives On." And okay. What I'm about to hear is none of this is what I made up. I could not have, because this was just too stupidly good.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor John Michael Ekamu of the Agule Pentecostal Assemblies of God, PAG Church, in Sereri District was chasing away demons that were following Simone Ogwang on Tuesday evening, December 24th, so Christmas Eve, right?
Mm-hmm.
Monitor reports that the 30-year-old parents took him to the preacher for deliverance from demons they believed were haunting him. Right? So there's a classic exorcism at Christmas happening. Mm-hmm. All was well until Ogwang became violent and kicked the 50-year-old preacher. Kioga East Regional Police Commander Damali Nachuka confirmed the incident. The pastor, after fell, but got up to continue the service. On Christmas morning, mm-hmm. the pastor appeared at the pulpit for a special festive service, but collapsed on his way. Efforts by believers to take him to the hospital were unsuccessful, as he refused and declared, "The devil has been defeated." Unfortunately, his condition worsened, and he was rushed to the Sereri 4th Health Center, where an x-ray revealed that his pancreas had been damaged. Also, Red William Ruto mourned sacked ICT, blah, 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 blah. He died while doctors were trying to save him through surgery. The body of the deceased was transported to another blah. Ogwang is arrested and detained, and the officers began their investigation. So, to sum up, exercise Christmas Eve. The guy fucking bites mm-hmm. and kicks the guy. Mm-hmm. He doesn't take defeat. He stays winning.
He stays winning.
Walks to the pulpit the next morning, is like, "I don't need your help. Devil has been defeated." And then he dies.
I think this is a classic example of the idiom, you may have won the battle, or what's it called? I may have lost the battle, but I'll win the war.
Yes.
Something like that. The demon, he really went down, you know, he really went down for round one, but he came back for round two and three. And
I
it
had
was
to reread this article
over.
Multiple times to fully understand if I understood like how slapstick comedy this actually is. And Jesus, these kind of things, I guess, happen in life. It's just that I started reading it and it was like chasing away demons on the 24th of December. And I was like, oh, okay, this is already shaping up to be good.
I think I would also start kicking and biting if I had to do exercise.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty good.
I applaud you silently.
Thank you.
That you thought
I'll stay
that was
humble.
Pretty good. Yes, you fucking better for this shit.
I will. I am. I promise.
You are
I promise
article.
Myself. Alright. Kotakui locals use water bottles to tap into phone network.
What?
So, this is going to be an interesting one, because apparently this is real science. But Kotakui is a town in East Uganda, so a bit rural, and they have issues with their phone signal due to their location. So one of the locals was taught by Ugandan military how to get a better phone signal. And so the way they do this is they fill water bottles and they stand under a shaded tree, which helps attract radio signals, is how the article summed it up. So they actually didn't really have water bottles in this town, so they had to get some. And there was also a dispute at some point with like a guy and his wife, and that caused him to get rid of a lot of water bottles, so they had to get new ones again.
What?
Well,
this is kind of like...
Signal remains... Yeah.
Gone.
Signal remains spotty, so because one of the requirements is to stand under a tree, there's sometimes queues at trees to actually get into the phone
This
network.
Is the most bizarre shit I've ever heard. Because this is sort of what I want to study in, right? Like the whole thing. But do explain it. Because I'm curious if it's actual explanation or just a made up stuff.
So this is the word for word explanation in the article. So I'm just going to read this to you and you can make your own conclusions, people. So when radio waves enter into the water, they induce electrical currents in the water molecules, which dissipate some of the energy waves. And in the process, when one makes a phone call, the waves generated by the water in the bottle are routed back to the nearest phone mast. Does that make sense to you, Rudy?
No, but it's whatever. This is what I
Does
want to study, like
scientific?
Electromagnetics and radio signals, but I don't understand this fully. What? Induces...
That's what I thought when reading this.
Maybe I just don't know some things, but... What the hell? How does that... I understand the standing under a tree part to an extent because it's just, I guess, a higher vantage point for signals to catch on anything. So I understand that part, but the... Whatever. What?
They do say it works, apparently, so...
I believe it works for them, but does it work for that specific reason or is it just a coincidence that they noticed and now they think it works like that, but...
I don't know. I thought it was really strange. I read that one. I was like, I don't understand a word that this is saying. So I'll just like read it on the podcast and let people think or make the conclusions for me, basically.
Weird.
Anyway, innovative technology, getting a water bottle, not bad. Rudy?
Oh yeah. Well, I thought there's going to be a follow-up.
Your turn?
Everything is fine. Article name. Everything is fine.
Okay.
TikTok user, how the fuck can you say this? Mayla Brandy. One word, Mayla Brandy. Surprised many on social media with the way she decorated her hostel room, considering she's a first-year student. Makerere University, MAC for short, student's room has well-designed furniture arranged in specific areas. I cannot speak of Rabajaba. The Ugandan girls sparked mixed reactions to the video of netizens poured into the comment section. So the gist is, she went to uni and was like, yeah, look at my conditions, look where I live. And it turns out she doesn't have, like, let's say, an accommodation. She's actually paying for the whole year for a hostel room. And it's pretty, you know, up there. And as you know, the wealth distribution in countries like Uganda is a bit... non-equal or even less equal than it is in the rest of the world. So that kind of sparked mixed, sporadic reactions, some of which I will not name, but will use with a very explicit language. I learned a couple, you know, words or two, new ones that I haven't heard of before. I unfortunately cannot say them out loud on the podcast because I think as a white man, I just cannot say them, but...
All right.
Yeah, so...
Good to know in what nature they were.
Yeah, another thing, which at this point will be completely blown over, but Henry, TikTok is getting banned in America. What do you think of that?
Good.
You know what? I actually agree. Did you see the whole meme about Red Note?
Yes, that's pretty funny.
Well, it's so funny to see those memes where Americans are now installing Red Note, which, for those who don't know, is like the Chinese version, the closest equivalent to TikTok, basically. And when the Red Note app literally just asks, do you consent to give your data or something like that? Like, you know, basically the default sentence for I'm going to get your data. Do you allow that or not? Everybody's like, yes, please, the fuck I am. And just allows it immediately. Just screenshots it to send it to spite America. Or the ones where Chinese people are sending their English homework to Americans now.
I think it's good to ban TikTok, because I don't think it's good for apps like that to be like harvesting your data. At the same time, you do have just other apps like the American social media who do the same thing. So it's like, I mean, at the end of the day, it's better to not have foreign interference in that sense, I guess. But your data is getting harvested either way. So for the layperson, I guess it doesn't really matter.
Best part, TikTok wasn't even Chinese. Singaporean.
I mean, it definitely came from China.
Yeah, but the company later was sold to Singapore, no?
I don't know. I think there's...
It was the infamous senator meeting where a guy was getting grilled like this. I think the CEO of TikTok, he's Singaporean or something. And he was getting grilled for those stupid questions about Chinese affiliation. Do you see the video?
I have, but I think there's more to it behind that. I think that... I don't know. I don't know enough about that to actually have educated discourse, but I'm pretty sure that's not all there is to it.
Well, that is true, and that's why I should fact check myself, and I admit it freely.
All right, good on you, Rudy.
Yeah.
I think you should just say whatever the fuck as fact, and I'll have to take it.
Okay, well, you're giving me free rein over here, I see. Okay, next article.
All right, so you're just gonna keep quiet as well then?
Yeah, well, I'll pounce when you're not ready.
All right. Anyway, so this is my second article. It's not really much of an article. It's two on the run after a failed bank robbery. So six people were killed in a firefight with police because they were going to rob a bank. So don't do that, people. Two remain on the run. I was just thinking, how the fuck do you even rob a bank in the God-given year of 2025?
Oh, there are ways.
Do banks still have actual cash on hand? Genuine question.
Well, there are repositories where technically, the way economy works is at all points, at least in America, I believe, whatever you have digital cash, right? So like digital world money, mm-hmm. at least a specific percentage of that has to be also laid down in gold somewhere in some bank. So whatever bank you mm-hmm. are under... If you would go and ask, it is within your right to ask up to a certain percentage of just physical money. So they have to have mm-hmm. physical money on them at some point. Like that's mandated by law. I don't know how much that is actually true, but basically the idea is that like a big part of the money that circulates the world has to be physically somewhere as well, mandated by law.
Right. But wouldn't that be more like in the central bank?
Like I don't know how it works, like, but I'm just telling that there are places where there is a lot of physical money in like on.
Yes, I mean I don't doubt that, but it's not like the like big stashes are not the one that are getting robbed.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like these days with the technology that is available to the world, it's either you rob a bank and you get caught almost immediately, or you rob a bank so well that nobody ever how do I say this? It's one of those things we never hear about because it's like so good just don't find the criminals anymore. It's no longer like, oh, look at this dugout tunnel in the middle of the wall. And then it was like, who were the robbers? These days, it's all just digital hacking and stuff like that where it's like they just gone with the wind. Try and find them now.
Fair enough. I think really we should rob a bank as just like an exercise.
I think we should talk about it more so people have like they never would expect us to rob a bank.
Yeah, definitely if we're talking about it so brazenly.
Okay, if we would rob somebody, who would we rob together? Well, definitely not Big Oil, because no.
No, because they have to pay for me in the future.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
I'd be down to rob an insurance company.
That's pretty cool.
Like an American one.
Do you think they keep their cash or?
Well, I just rob some office chairs. Just make their life miserable.
Honestly, that's good. I could use a better chair.
Yeah, there you go. Luigi Mangione did his way. Now we're going to do our way. We're just going to keep stealing chairs. And at some point, we're going to be evil. We're not going to steal all the chairs because then they just buy new ones. No. We're going to go to an office, right? And we're like, we will steal chairs to the point where it's like everybody has only one chair left, right? So they don't notice the first stealing because they still have their chairs, technically. They just don't know that their reserves are gone now. And then a week or two from then, we steal one more chair. And then it's a bloodbath. Mm-hmm. They fight for the chairs. There's no more. And they think that they're going crazy. And from then on, it just derails. We're going to topple the insurance industry in America like this.
I like the idea of like a reserve chair. It's like, they find out there's one chair missing and they're all, let's just grab another one from the chair closet. And then they go there and there's fucking nothing.
Exactly. And I'm telling you, like, when it comes to like office space and you having a comfortable chair, that shit is a bloodbath. People usually steal everybody's chairs anyways. When there's one less chair, then, oh, man. I think in some ways we would be to deserve to be more in prison than Luigi Mangione.
I don't know. I'd kill for a good chair.
Well, and he did, didn't he? And with that good note, we are going to go on to the ad.
Okay. One of the toughest parts of having a car is maintaining it properly. Making sure your car gets serviced, checking the engine, replacing the tires, giving your car a tender slap on the rump, and giving your car a goodnight kiss are just some of the tasks you need to stay on top of to make sure that your car keeps running. In order to help you keep your baby well maintained, we have invented the revolutionary 100% recyclable bio oil called BioOil. Top your car up, drive it around like the suave sex machine that you are, and when it's time to change the oil, simply crawl under your car and let the oil drain straight into your mouth. All you have to do now is gulp that black goo down and wait for it to travel through your system. After a couple of days of internal processing, you can just walk right back up to your car, pull your pants down on the oil canister, and let the fresh juices flow straight back in. Try BioOil today. Your car will not be able to thank you enough.
All right. Okay. A couple of things to say here. First of all, I just want to apologize to everybody who was listening. This is not our usual standard. Trust me, I'm in the same boat as you right now, dear listener. My jokes, my sexual jokes. I talked about porn the other episode. Henry, we don't go this explicit on the podcast. That
what was explicit? I thought that was not only a good product, but damn fucking sexy as well.
Okay. I think we keep this after the episode. You go on to your you touristy thingy. You do.
All right. Well, all I'm saying, nothing's better than that black sludge, all right? Anyway.
Once you go black, you never go back.
Yeah, all right.
Now you don't commit. Black don't crack, bitch. What do you mean, crack, now
I
don't commit?
I just said yes and then I laughed. Also, how is that relevant? All right, anyway. All right, everybody, please close thy eyes and listen to this. You head out for the day and decide to just go off in some random direction. The 30-degree weather and occasional showers are taking their toll on you, but you decide to not let that impact your adventure through this massive urban environment. Lucky for you, you're not too far off from Lake Victoria, where you're able to cool off for the day. The next day, you decide to go into a different direction, to enjoy the exotic animals that the country has to offer. The 30-degree weather with an occasional shower is making you thirsty, but you're well prepared to watch the lions and giraffes through your binoculars, making the most out of this unique visit. The next day, Just before you're about to head out, you wonder what the weather will be like today. Suddenly, words ring through your head. That's right, people. It's the same weather again. 30 degrees with rain every day for the next month. I'm sick and tired of this segment. Where is this voice coming from? It sounds familiar, but you can't quite place a name on it. Maybe something starting with an R? As you're thinking, the voice keeps getting louder, and your head starts spinning. You run outside to get some fresh air, when you make a stunning discovery. The weather is actually 29 degrees with rain. Wow. Whoever that voice was must have been full of shit when he was complaining about the consistency of the forecast. So anyway, if you like watching the weather forecast like a hawk, then maybe Kampala can be your next destination.
I will remind you, you fucking overgrown bastard of a human being, that weather forecasts that predict anything within more than a month are already inaccurate. I'll just like to remind you of that, right?
Okay. I'm not disagreeing with that.
Yeah. You better not.
Yeah.
Because for a moment it looked like you're disagreeing. And I would really not appreciate it right now, you know?
I promise I wasn't disagreeing.
Okay. Good. As long as we that...
With that specific fact. Yeah. Uh-huh. Sorry.
Yeah. So what were you disagreeing with then, huh?
I'm on your side.
Okay.
I was just having a friendly rib.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
Sure. Anyways, going local, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to get real. Henry might ease you into the tourist side of Kampala, but I am here to really test your might to see if you are worthy enough to become a local in Kampala, Uganda. So before you now will be 3 trials. If you think you can pass them, there is absolutely nothing stopping you from getting that Kampalian citizen card. So first, sand. What do you think of sand? Does it get in places where it shouldn't? What are you going to do about it? Will you let it ruin you, itch you, weather you down? Be prepared, as fighting sand will be a battle to fill your very last breath in Kampala. Sun! If sand didn't choke you out, then be ready for the deadly ultraviolet rays of the only star close enough to secure the kill. There is no escape. Just shed your skin several times before a new you emerges, a warrior of strength and will. Radio hosts! If you ever thought of quickly taking a break, relaxing after a long day by listening to the radio, well, it is in these times when you are the most exposed to your frequencies. You'll be mobbed by radio hosts that will never stop yapping no matter what radio station you turn to. There is no music except the one that your rageful fit after they laugh at their own jokes on the other side of the receiver. So, if you think that you are the warrior to rise above all of this, I commend you, and even recommend you, to try your luck and become a local in Kampala, Uganda.
All right, that's very apropos because I mentioned the exact same thing in my radio station as well.
Well, me as well.
Yeah, no, I was listening to that shit. I was like, holy fuck, this is exhausting.
You listen through them and it's, bro, they just interrupt themselves in the middle of the sentence when the other host is talking. And then the music, you don't even get to really. At some point, you just realize, oh, music was there all along. It's just they don't allow you to listen to it.
Do you want to jump straight into the radio? Just while we're on the topic.
Space Boy sends you alien suggestions from Galaxy FM at 100.2 FM Kampala for a bit of house, hip-hop, pop, and R&B in these trying times while we drift through the milkiest of galaxies.
All right, pretty good. My recommendation is 89.2 FM CBS Emanduso. Sorry. Was listening, I experienced a very awkward radio interview where I couldn't understand a word, but the energy was like crazy awkward. And after that, the hyperactive ad breaks in the middle of songs playing was fucking really difficult to not get sick of immediately. So, doesn't sound like much of a recommendation, but I reckon it's a good one anyway.
Yeah, no, I guess if you're born in that kind of environment, you get used to it. But for us, I don't know. It's just unlistenable.
Yep.
Local businesses. For a local business, I will give you, for free, an actual business idea, my dear friend from Kampala. Red sand. It's everywhere around you. Nothing unique there, correct? But it stands to reason that we all want a bit of change once in a while and might even pay for it, right? So, hop on to Qatar Airways, smack dab in the middle of the city. Hop on to Qatar for one night and get back with buckets of white sand to then sell it to anyone wanting a bit of change in their lives.
I like that. Is it legal to take sand out of Qatar?
Well, actually, it's because I want to bring some sand over from Netherlands to Latvia next time I go over. So I'm not sure.
Why?
And I want to just, somebody has to test this out. So I'm going to be on the lookout for this article whenever it comes out.
I know it's illegal in Australia, definitely. I don't know if it would be in the Netherlands.
Okay, I was fully joking. There's an actual clause that makes it illegal.
Oh. Yeah, you can't take sand from here. And don't tell the fucking government, but my mom did. Uh-oh.
I know where she lives approximately. I know the country. Find me 5 buckaroos, I'll sell her out.
I like that. I know where she lives approximately. I just have to narrow it down a little bit more. Anyway, my local business, this was more relevant in 2017, but I think you can still go do it, is going to Brian Rich Hardware in the center of Kampala. You'll need to be a good craftsman, but you can get the tools and materials you need to craft yourself your own set of Ugandan knuckles for whenever you beat up someone in the street.
Okay. Not where I thought it was going to go, but yeah, cool. Yeah, that's a bit of that local love, I guess.
Yes.
We can even imprint you the word local from Uganda on your forehead with these knuckles in a very one specific way.
Yeah, I guess if that's something you would want as part of the tourist experience.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to episode 37 of Globally Local FM, our dear listeners. Yours truly, Rudis, three zeros, Rudis three zeros on Instagram. So 000RUDIS000. Find me, get us some feedback either from wherever you listen to us or on my Instagram. You can find Henry on.
You can find me smuggling sand as a way to test the boundaries.
All right, edge case scenarios and, I mean, edgelord himself. Brought to you by Tome of Hazard. Go check out our colleague Colossal Pengu on Twitch. And next week we are going to
Liverpool in the UK.
Yep, we are. So, okay, now Henry, let's take a minute and talk about my only gripe with your sexual